We are joined by Peter Schmuck, Baltimore Sun columnist, who is back with us from spring training 2015. Peter, before the break, you kind of stirred it up during your writings there in Sarasota, Florida, because it seemed that Adam Jones had some very narrow quotes towards the Orioles organization about the future and the general manager and all that bizarre tale and saga from this past offseason. Chris Davis, that may have been even more poignant, followed up by Matt Wieters' quotes that basically said that I'm not negotiating now, and it all points to this big kind of transformation at the end of this season, and that they're not even engaging these players. I don't know how, if that is even true, and I do believe, Peter, and this is an important side note, that the Orioles tried hard last offseason to retain both Davis and Wieters, and that needs to be noted in my opinion here. But as far as right now, does it seem personal at this point?
No, I don't think so, actually, Brad. I also want to make it clear that in a couple of those cases, you know, I went to the players themselves and asked questions about it. In one of the cases, the conversation just kind of turned in that direction, and this is the case of the Chris Davis story, whether Chris had something he wanted to say and would have said it regardless of what I asked, I don't know. But Chris Davis was pretty specific and laid out a scenario under which he would consider re-signing with the team. And, you know, you can look at those quotes and you can draw a whole range of conclusions, whether you want to conclude that Chris Davis was kind of trying to use some reverse psychology and maybe trying to draw an offer from the Orioles, or maybe, you know, he just wanted to, lay out a scenario and encourage the Orioles front office to start re-signing some of the guys other than J.J. Hardy, who they signed during the playoffs last year. And in Adam's case, this came up as part of an interview I was doing with him, and then we kind of focused in on it. And what it really came down to, and that one was sort of personal, in that I really think it was sparked by two things. One, of course, the whole Dick Markakis thing that has simmered throughout the offseason and has come up in a number of stories during spring training, many of them by me, but some by other people. And what it came down to was Adam feeling like at the point where he is with this team, a team that advertised him with Markakis for several years. It's 2110 Utah Street. That if you're going to let Markakis go, and I call or text or whatever the GM to say, is there anything I can do because this thing's coming apart? He felt like he should get a call back, and I think the implication, you know, he never really said he didn't get a call back, but the implication was that if you don't want to return my calls, that's fine, but if you're gonna present me this way, then treat me this way, I know that there was a kind of a back and forth among the fans and among the commentators about this, because that particular story went all over the country. It was picked up by MLB TV, and we had video of an interview I did with Adam that included some other comments along the same lines, and it really caused a conversation, which I certainly love, but it wasn't really intentional, I don't think that was probably mildly personal, but Dan Duquette responded immediately, and he talked. As far as I know, he made a lot of effort to talk to Adam during spring down in the dugout. I've seen them talking at times, and it may have been a situation there where Dan Duquette was a little busy during the off season.
Yes, he was,
and he was also, and I don't think he would deny this, hiding from phone calls from a lot of people, including me. Was not taking phone calls. Was not. Because he didn't want to answer questions about the Blue Jays situation. So I think that played into it too. Matt Wieters, his situation, he was very matter of fact. There was nothing personal at all. Matt Wieters has said exactly what you should say in these situations if you want to diffuse them and deal with other things. In that he constantly said, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but what I pressed Matt on was, who's the boss? Is Scott Boras the boss, or are you the boss?
It's a great question.
Because, and I asked Chris the same thing, and that was part of the thing that started the conversation with Chris also. I was kind of going to those two guys as the most prominent of the free agents, and they were both, you know, they're both represented by Boris, as in White, as is Wei and Chen. And I just wanted to see what they'd say. And of course, both of them said, "I'm the boss because it's my life, it's my contract." And Matt Wieters, and you can go back and read the quotes. I can't remember them specifically. I thought he said all the right things, and I thought Chris had every right to say what he said, but Chris was in a situation where, and I tried to point that out in the story, that Chris kind of recognized that he was saying this at a time when a lot of people would think he shouldn't be saying this kind of stuff because of what happened in September, because he didn't play very well last year, because he was injured part of the year. All those things combined to say, you know, somebody else in the clubhouse, if you want to say this, should say this. And, you know, a J.J. Hardy or a Wieters or an Adam Jones. And so he may have not been the right messenger, but I agree with his message. And I think the fans who got on him about that were still a little frustrated that he wasn't around to help in the playoffs. But the message itself, there is concern about this. You brought it up at the start of the show. There's all these free agents, and what's going to happen a year from now? And a lot of, you know, Dan Duquette will probably say, "Don't worry about a year from now. It's about now." I agree. It is about now. But, you know, baseball is a continuum. You know, you wouldn't sign guys to 6-year contracts if it wasn't a continuum. You wouldn't draft guys and develop them for 5 years before they ever see the major leagues if it wasn't a continuum. And so the idea that we shouldn't think about next year is ridiculous. They should be thinking about it. If, you know, the front office obviously needs to think about it, and I'm sure they do. But this is not a team that's ever really been proactive, and that's why the J.J. Hardy signing was kind of a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had the debate today with your colleague Jeff Zrebeck about whose decision is it? Is it Scott Boris's decision, or is it the player's decision? Jeff's feeling is, and this should be the case, that it's always on the player. And I'd like to believe that, even though you know me, Peter, I'd like to put most of the blame on Scott. And that's probably not fair. It is the player's decision.
Well,
these are grown men we're talking about.
Here's my question. And I asked this question of Chris and Matt, and I didn't really get a solid answer. But one of the things that, you know, that you hear at times is the players say, "I didn't get an offer." And I know for, you know, by almost all accounts, there were offers
sure.
made to these guys
Absolutely.
A year or so ago. And I wonder, and I haven't heard from Scott Boris lately, if the Orioles come in right now, call Scott Boris and say, "We want to give Matt a 5-year extension for $75 million, which is under market if he's healthy, but
if.
He's not healthy.
Yeah.
Okay. My question is, does Scott Boris call Matt Wieters and say this, or does he say, or does he have a plateau that you have to get by before he even notifies the player?
That's pretty scary if he doesn't report a $75 million offer.
Well, and so, and I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm saying that is there in the way he deals, because he does have a way he works. And he lays that out to these guys when they sign with him, by the way. Listen, the guys who sign with him, they sign with him because he's Scott Boris and he gets people tons of money.
Yep.
So let's not, you know, be naive here. But I think when he sits down with them, he says, "This is the way I operate. Now, the final decision is yours, but I'm going to give you this information, and this information." And my question is, if Scott thinks the offer is ridiculous, does he relay it to the player? Now, the team has the option of CCing the player, which they do sometimes. But I don't know the answer to that. And
Peter, we have to cut it off there. I do appreciate your time tonight, as always, and hopefully we'll catch up and talk more baseball and more Terps soon. Enjoy the game tomorrow. We do appreciate it.
Okay, Brett. Talk to you soon.
That's Baltimore Sun columnist Peter Schmuck. We're back with more next.